Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Have you ever struggled with letting people down? If you'd asked me that question, pretty much at any point in the first 30 years of my life, I probably would have told you, no, this is not a huge struggle for me. I would have told you that I don't really let the people around me down all that much. So it's not something I think about all that often. However, after spending the last year and a half in Jersey, though, I've come to realize that maybe I might just have been living a lie. It wasn't so much that I wasn't letting the people around me down. It was more so that they were just too polite to tell me what I was doing wrong. But don't worry, guys. Since then, I've met you. I've met the rest of the people in the great state of New Jersey. And as I've spent more and more time here, I've come to learn that you guys have no problem speaking your mind. It's not just a stereotype. You know who you are. And so many of you have circled up with me in the lobby, sent me emails, pulled me aside, levied your complaints in my preaching. These complaints, they haven't really been on my theology. They've definitely been on my choice of NFL team. They haven't really been about how I tell too many stories, although that would be a fair complaint. No one has come up to me and said, hey, we just want to bring Tim back, get off stage sort of thing. I will say a few of you have shared your concern that my hair is not quite as high as his, though. But no. The majority of the complaints have centered around one thing, and here's what it is. We want more winter. And for those of you guys who don't know, this is my daughter, Winter, right here. I know. She's my pride, my joy, just my whole life. She can do no wrong, just obsessed with this girl. And apparently, the people are too. So in response to the complaints, I believe it's time to give the people what they want, more winter. So I want to give you guys a brief update on what my wife and I have been working on with our little girl. We spent the first year and a half of her life prepping her and preparing her for her professional Olympic debut. As you guys know, I'm a gold or nothing kind of person, and so she's well on her way to the gold. We need a bit more celebration in the room. You just met your future Team USA snowboarding representative. We took this video and we posted it a couple months ago back in March when Winter was just 17 months old. And since then, the video has been viewed 250,000 times, 7,500 likes. And we've just been blown away that we get to share our daughter with the world. It turns out it's not just Liquid Church that wants more Winter. The world does as well. But over the last few months, I've also quickly learned the lesson that you can't always give the people what they want. It turns out that even if you post this kind of goodness into the world, you can still disappoint and frustrate people. Even if you share your amazing infant daughter's newfound snowboarding skill, you can still let down the masses. I'll tell you what we mean. We were crossing over 100,000 views, and only 15,000 of them were me. And that's when it happened. The comments took a turn for the worse, and here's what started to happen. And in just this page alone, you've got dozens, and there was just comment after comment, one after the next, of people that were let down by me. And so I started to read them one by one with just this righteous indignation. I was like, all right, Kelly Metal, you don't like Winter's name? What kind of name is Kelly Metal anyway? Your parents come up with that one? And you get to like 2 Mile High Mountain Mama. You think Winter needs to wear a helmet? You're going to need to wear a helmet when I'm done with you. And then I started to think, no, that's not going to work. I need to go much deeper. So I started going through their profiles and their pictures, looking for ways to one-up them psychologically. And I'm thinking through like all these witty and just angry responses and how I'm going to post and respond to them when I realize, like, what am I doing? If the people at Liquid saw these responses, what would they think? And that's when I came up with the idea. That was the day, my friends, that Tack Zahler joined Instagram for the first time. And I'll tell you this, you don't want to get on his bad side. You can't always give the people what they want, can you? And what's true of viral social media posts, it's even more true about life, isn't it? There's no way to walk through life without letting someone around you down. Maybe it was your spouse that was let down because you, or they felt like you weren't contributing enough around the house. Maybe it's the boss at work who seems to only see your mistakes instead of all the extra work you're putting in every week. Maybe it's your parents growing up that reminded you every moment that they could that you were a mistake or a disappointment. Maybe it's your kids that were let down by you because you were absent or missed that big moment in their life. Maybe it's the coworker that was jealous of you because you got the promotion and not them. Maybe it's the friend that felt like you weren't there for them when they needed it. Maybe it's a dozen or dozens of internet trolls calling for a helmet for your kids. That's just me. I'm still bitter. Also, side note for like all you safety-oriented people out there who are thinking like, well, they did have a good point on those comments there. We went to Amazon and we found a helmet for next season, so don't worry, she'll be just fine. All joking aside, I think for all of us, we could sit right here in our seats and come up with a list of 5+ names that we know right now of people that are let down by us, probably just this week. And if that's you, here's what I want you to know. You're not alone. Every single one of us in this room has been there, but even more importantly, Jesus has been there too. Hebrews 4:15 says it this way. It says that we don't have a high priest, Jesus, who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one. We have Jesus who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And what the writer of Hebrews is letting us know is that if you struggle with letting people down, Jesus has been there. In fact, this passage is our theme verse for our summer series, Been There. And what we'll be doing over the next few weeks is we're exploring the life and the humanity of Jesus. We don't have a God that's just out there, distant, far away. No, we have a God who has been there. That in every way we have struggled, he did too. Just like we are tempted, Jesus has been there. Just like we have anxious thoughts, Jesus did too. Just like we get sad, disappointed, angry, Jesus did too. He has been there. And if you feel like you're constantly letting the people around you down, Jesus understands because his life was one disappointment after the next. If you start all the way back to his birth, Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, tried to quietly divorce Mary, his mother, because Jesus was conceived out of wedlock. What that means was that before he was even born, Jesus was letting someone down. As a kid, when his parents traveled to Jerusalem to visit the temple, Jesus was chastised for staying behind to learn and to grow, just completely misunderstood. Before Jesus ever started his ministry, his mom came up to him in the middle of a wedding that had run out of wine and demanded, Jesus, you got to do something to fix the problem, even though Jesus wasn't ready to start performing miracles. And then once Jesus did enter his ministry, his family literally thought that he had gone crazy. And so they showed up at church while he was preaching on stage to bring him back home because they felt like he was an embarrassment. And just so you guys know, I've let my mom down in countless ways, but she has never showed up at church in the middle of a sermon to take me home. I do apologize in advance if that ever happens on a Sunday. Again, just all joking aside, if you've ever felt like you could never live up to your parents or your family's expectations for your life, yeah, Jesus has been there. Even Jesus' best friends were constantly frustrated and let down by him. The disciples got angry multiple times because they thought that he was showing favoritism amongst the 12. When Jesus was sleeping in the back of a boat one time during a storm, the disciples cried out and said, "Do you not even care that we're here? That we're about to drown? Do something, save us." When Jesus let his best friends know that he was asking or that he was going to go to his death on their behalf, they're all shocked and disappointed because they expected and wanted him to overthrow the occupying power of Rome. He was the wrong kind of savior, not the one that they wanted. So if you've ever felt like you can never do enough to impress your friends, Jesus is saying, I've been there too. And here's the thing, these are the people that are supposed to be in his corner, the ones that love him, his friends, his family. The ones that should be there for him. But Luke 4 tells us that at Jesus' hometown, they actually ran him off and tried to throw him off a cliff to his death because of the first sermon that he preached there. The religious leaders and pastors of the day were so jealous of Jesus, they made every attempt to have him killed. And the crowds loved Jesus as long as he was feeding them and performing miracles. But then as soon as they would stop the signs and wonders, they would turn on him, eventually calling for the release of the murderer Barabbas and the death of Jesus. So if you've ever had thousands of people conspiring for your death, Jesus has been there too. Are you catching it? You can't always give the people what they want, can you? So for all of us that have let people down, who have failed to live up to others' expectations, who are constantly worried about what others think, can I give you some encouragement from Jesus? I think if he were here right now, he would say, I've been there before. And I think he would speak these words from Luke 6 over us. This is how he encouraged his disciples. He told them this. He said, Whoa, watch out. Be careful when everybody speaks well of you. For that's how the ancestors treated the false prophets. And then he says, blessed though. You're blessed when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. And I hope you're just picking up what Jesus is saying here. He's warning us right here, right now. He's saying, if you are doing right by everybody, you're actually doing it wrong. If you're doing right by everybody, you're doing it wrong. What Jesus is doing is that he's recognizing that there's no way in life to make every single person around you happy. And if you're trying to do that, it's eventually just going to crush you. So when I read that passage, it gives me encouragement because it gives me permission to just take a breath and realize that it's not all on me to always give the people what they want. And there's so much freedom in that realization. I don't know about you, but in my life, there's no greater jail than to be chained to what other people might think of me. It's the constant worry of wondering who I offended, who I let down, who I need to talk to, who needs more attention from me, and it's exhausting. And if I'm being honest, it weighs on my shoulders daily. Did Winter think I was a good enough dad today? Did my boss think I did a good enough job this week? My friend came over the house. Did they think that it was clean enough? I haven't called my mom in a few days. I wonder if she's mad at me. I met a new client at work. I wonder if they're impressed with me. I want to share this photo of my family on a bike ride. But will people notice that Winter isn't wearing a helmet? And that's why Jesus is warning us to watch out. He knows how much of a prison it is to be everything for everybody. He knows that if we're walking through life with every single person around us speaking well of us, it's because either we're being fake or they are. I'll tell you what I mean. Several years ago, I had an intern step onto my team back in Florida. His name was Michael. He came to town from Chicago and was trying to restart his life. And unlike most interns who are 18 or 19 years old, Michael was almost 28. He'd gotten a later start in life, but he felt like God had put a call on his life to go into ministry. So I sat through the interview process with him, asked him the questions about his life. And at the end of our time together, I let him know, hey, we'd love to see you step onto the team, but ministry's not always the most like glamorous job in the world. And just kind of as a warning, hey, there's going to be some easy days and there's going to be some hard days. And he sat there and he assured me that he was ready for all of it and that he would do anything that it took. I think Michael would go on to regret using that phrase. So I doubled down one more time and I said, are you sure that you mean anything? He said, yep, I'm up for whatever you throw at me. Pause on the story real quick. There's probably something wrong with me because the very moment that I heard him say, I'm up for anything, for some reason or another, it definitely like I took it as a personal challenge of sorts. I decided that I need it to be my personal goal to push this kid and see how far that he would go. There's probably something wrong with me. Unpause from the story. The first few months of the internship are going just fine. Everything's great. He's assimilating on the team. He jumped in, helpful. And it's super clear he's got talent, that everyone likes him, a call towards ministry in his life. All those things are working great. We're all rooting for him. We're all investing in him. But also in the back of my mind, the challenge is still ever present. It was about a month leading up to Christmas when I saw my opportunity to really put him to the test. I brought Michael into my office. You could tell that he was really nervous. I said, hey, remember when you said that you were up for anything? And I could throw anything your way. And with hesitation, he kind of tentatively responded, yeah, I remember that. I said, well, I have an opportunity for you. And that's when I went to the closet of my office and I opened the door to reveal a full adult-size cinema-quality stormtrooper costume. And then I explained that we were doing a movie series for church this weekend and that we had a Star Wars theme and that we didn't have anyone else who could fit in the costume. I definitely didn't tell him that I had specifically ordered the costume to his size. And I honestly thought he was going to like balk, tell me no, that is beneath him. But he leaned in. I'll never forget what he said. He said, I totally thought you were going to fire me right now. I love Star Wars. I'm always up to be a stormtrooper. And sure enough, this is how Michael showed up that next Sunday to church. And you guys are out here kind of cheering for Michael at this point. But his response just frustrated me and challenged me even more to push it further. So I pulled him into my office again the next Monday. He walked in chipper like he owned the place. So I was like, I got another costume for you. And coincidentally, it's just your size. Once again, the theme's Jurassic Park. And this costume was even more ridiculous than the one before. And sure enough, he showed up on Sunday looking like this. You could tell which one he is because he's the dumbest looking one there on the far right in the full dinosaur outfit. But it didn't faze him. In fact, he started going around, walking around the lobby, acting like he was a dinosaur, roaring for the kids. He's totally into it. So I came into work on Monday again, saw Michael sitting on the couch, and I threw him his next costume. He replied back, I got you, boss. And then he showed up on Sunday looking like this, the Grinch. Three costumes, 3 weeks, and Michael is acting happier than ever. He's winning at this point, but I've got one last chance. I picked out the most ridiculous costume of the all. The last theme was Greatest Showman, so we dressed up Michael head to toe like he was part of the circus. And literally, this guy came alive for the show. He memorized the dance, guys. Michael, the intern, won. And so the next Monday rolled around, and I fired him. No, I'm just kidding. It was definitely the last intern that I hired, for sure. And we laugh because dressing up your favorite intern in every costume you can find is pretty funny. But here's what I also know is we've all worn a mask at some point in our lives, haven't we? I'm not talking about being a stormtrooper or dressing up like a dinosaur. I'm talking about the mask that we wear for the people around us. It's so easy in our lives to show people the side of us that we think they want or need to see. And I think sometimes we can get so caught up in being everything for everyone, moving from mask to mask to mask, that we forget who God created us to be. We'll end up going along with what others want and then resent or regret it later. We'll change our opinions based on who is in the room with us. We'll exaggerate the truth to impress the people around us. Instead of saying no to something we know we should say no to, we'll find ourselves saying yes. Instead of asking for help when we need it, we'll pretend like we have it all together. We move all the time from mask to mask to mask, trying to keep all the people around us talking and thinking well of us. We do everything we can to chase after the very thing that Jesus warns us about. So can I speak his words over you again? Because he would say, woe to you. Woe to you. Be careful. Watch out when everyone speaks well for you. That's how the ancestors treated the false prophets. In other words, if you are doing right by everybody, you're doing it wrong. And I don't know about you guys, but like I try to convince myself that I'm doing it for others, that I'm just out there trying to meet the needs of all the people around me. I try to convince myself that my worry about letting others down is out of my selflessness. But let's be honest, we're not doing it for them. We're not breaking our backs and pretending to be something that we are not for the people around us. We're doing it for ourselves. Our fear of letting people down is self-preserving. We do it because we want to be able to control how people think and feel about us. And that's the one thing that just isn't possible to do. We'll never have the ability to control what people think of us. In fact, what I've found is that when I do try to control that, when I do try to control my relationships that way, it eventually makes them worse. So here's the real question that maybe we're asking this. How do we break free from this? How do we move on from this fear that can just drive and ruin and steal our lives? Unfortunately, Jesus gives us gives us the answer. There's this moment in Matthew 10 when Jesus is about to send out his disciples into the world for the first time without him. He warns them that as they go out, not everyone is going to accept them. Some will, some won't. That's just the reality. You, even you, are going to disappoint and let people down. But here's the instructions that Jesus gives when that happens. Jesus in Matthew 10:14 says these words. He says, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, you should stay there and really try to convince them by being really super nice until you get their approval." No. Here's what he says. He says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, you should try even harder to convince them to be your friend, to like you, bake them cookies. That'll win them over. No, that's not what he says. He says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and then shake the dust off your feet. And this phrase, shake the dust off your feet, it's just this fascinating idea. It was a Jewish tradition for rabbis. Whenever they walked through territories or areas that were unclean, they didn't want to continue carrying that lack of cleanliness around with them. So what they would do is they would take off their sandals or their shoes and they would beat them together to shake the unclean dust off. And what they're saying is that I can't walk around carrying unclean things. So I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to set that dust aside and then continue walking in the things of God. And what Jesus does is he takes this idea and he kind of flips it on its head. He tells his disciples that there is nothing unclean about the areas where you walk. And he is instead giving them instructions that they need to shake off the need for approval from others. That they can't walk around carrying the weight, worrying about what people will think about what they say or what they do. That need for man's approval needs to be set down, needs to be set aside, shaked off, so they continue walking in the things of God. So this literally became a practice for the early church where they would encounter persecution or difficulty, where they would encounter rejections in the cities where they would live. Missionaries like Paul and Barnabas would use this practice so that they wouldn't carry the pain and the weight of rejection with them to the next stop in their journey. And I think as a church, we could do well to bring this practice back. Now, please don't go into your boss's office on Monday and clap your shoes together at them because you're disappointed in you. That's not going to go well, and I know I'm going to get even more complaints on my sermon moving forward. What I am saying, though, is that we have to make the conscious decision that we're going to shed the fear of letting others down. We need to shake off the need for approval that we are trying to seek from others. We need to shake off those masks that we're each wearing to impress the people around us. We need to be set free from carrying around the expectations and the opinions of others. We got to shake off this dust that we've been carrying around for far too long. And let's pause right there for just a second, because I want to be super clear in what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Because I can see it in your eyes. I've got the agreement of just about every single person in the state of New Jersey right now. And you're like, finally, I can shake off what everyone else thinks. I can just tell people how it is. You're sitting there formulating your next Facebook post right now as I speak, because you've got the license to voice your opinion. If people get offended by me, they're just going to have to deal with it, because Pastor Zach said I can just shake it right off. Thank you, Pastor Zach, for the permission to finally speak my mind, as if you guys were waiting for it anyway. And no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we can get too caught up in what man says and what man thinks about us, and we can forget what our God says about us. And this is so dangerous because man only looks at the outside and our God looks at us at the heart. Paul, the missionary, says it like this in Galatians 1. He wrote, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." And what Paul is saying is, I can't control the opinions of man. So listen in. So if I set their approval as my goal, I'll never hit it. What I can do instead, though, is I can set my sight on Jesus. I can be his servant. I can be who he tells me to be. I can set that as my goal, and everything else will work itself out. And guys, that's where freedom is found. If we continue to fear letting the people around us down, it'll always control us. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you can't control whether your child sees you as a good parent or not. Have you ever met a teenager before? They are fickle. Their opinion of you is going to change every single hour. You have to shake off that dust. But you know what you can control? You can say, I'm going to be the parent that God called me to be. You can set that as the goal. And you can say, I'm going to be who God called me to be, regardless of the opinion of man. I'm going to train up my child in the way they should go, just like God told me to. I think someone needs to hear this right now. You can't control how your boss is going to see you or interact with you. But what you can do is you can make a commitment that you're going to be the sort of worker that God has called you to be, an approved workman that's not ashamed. You can't change your spouse's opinion of you. You've tried that. It's not working. You got to shake that dust off. You can't control their opinion of you. What you can do, though, is you can be the husband. You can be the wife that God has called you to be. You can choose that you're going to love your spouse like yourself. You can choose that you are going to honor and respect him. You can choose that you're going to daily sacrifice yourself for them like God has called you to do. And you can go on and on and on from there in every relationship. And I'm not saying all of this because I have it figured out. I'm saying this because so much of my life is controlled by worrying and wondering what people think of me. So can I pull off my mask for a second and be real with you guys? Even as I wrote this message, I was thinking through what each of you guys might think. Will Liquid think that I'm funny enough? Will they be offended by me making fun of Jersey people? Will they judge me for not having a helmet on my kids snowboarding? Every week that I preach, in the back of my mind is the question, how many complaint emails will I get as a result of saying this? And so there are things that I avoid saying, even though God has placed them on my heart to say, because I don't want to upset people. I don't want to let anyone down. And here's the thing. I need to learn how to shake that dust off. And that doesn't mean... it doesn't mean I get to say or do whatever I want. It doesn't mean you get to say or do whatever you want. It means that I need to be more consumed with the audience of one and what they think than what the audience standing in front of me thinks. Are you with me? And here's what I can promise you. I can promise you that if we do this in our lives, we'll be amazed at the ways that God will show up. We'll be amazed with what God has in store for us, what he has set out in front of us. You know who taught me that lesson? It was a costume-wearing intern named Michael. I pulled him into my office that Monday after the circus, and he sheepishly kind of sunk into the chair in front of me and said, "You're not going to fire me, are you?" For some reason, this kid's greatest fear in life is that I'm going to fire him. I said, no, but I do have a question for you. I asked, like, are you like some sort of costume guy? He's like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, like for the last 4 weeks, I've been hazing you, making you wear costume after costume, but it hasn't fazed you. You must like really like dressing up or something, right?" And he answered back, he said, no, I hate wearing costumes. And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "I hate wearing costumes, but I lost a decade of my life worrying what everyone around me might think. So I'm done trying to impress people. If God needs me to wear a costume, sign me up, I'll do it." And I heard that and I was a little bit convicted, mostly because this intern had taken my hazing as the voice of God in his life. But I was even more convicted because Michael and I both knew exactly what he meant when he said, "I lost 10 years of my life." You see, growing up, Michael's father wasn't necessarily abusive, but he put an inordinate amount of pressure on Michael to be successful. As a business owner, he pushed his son as far as he possibly could. And along the way, he had placed some just unrealistic expectations on Michael's shoulder, expectations that he felt like he could never live up to. And that's the thing about the fear of letting people down. It's always a prison, isn't it? and trapped under the pressure of constantly feeling like a letdown to his dad and to others. Michael turned to alcohol in his teenage years. That alcohol eventually became an addiction and a coping mechanism in his life. And as he got a little bit older, it transitioned from alcohol use to drug use. I mentioned earlier that Michael was nearly 28 years old when he started his internship. The reason why is because he lost an entire decade of his life on and off the streets of Chicago, homeless, searching for his next high as a way of escaping the pain of all the people that he had let down. And so when he moved to Florida to restart his life, he wasn't trying to restart his life. He moved to Florida because it was his last chance at life. He checked himself into an inpatient detox program, a program that just so happened to partner with my church. And when he walked through the doors of church that day for the first time, he thought they would literally cave in on him. But instead, for the first time in his life, he met a father that wasn't angry or disappointed or let down. No, Michael met his heavenly father and realized that even though he'd let every other person in his life down, God hadn't given up on him yet. And that's how he found himself just a few weeks clean, giving his life to Jesus. Come on, we can celebrate a God of second chances. A God that doesn't turn on us when we let him down. That's the God that we serve. And if you walked in here and you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world, you're carrying the weight of each and every person that you let down, I want you to know that you have a God that is offering you freedom today, right here, right now. If you're walking in here worried that the walls might cave in on you, welcome home. We're glad you're here. Your heavenly Father has been waiting for you. Romans 5:8 says this, that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, He, Jesus, died for us. What that means is that while we were still letting God down, while we were still letting everyone in the world around us down, while we were still fighting against him, God sent his son to the cross to die on our behalf. In other words, your letdowns don't scare him. They're just an opportunity for him to lift you up. And Michael walked into church that day, having burnt every single bridge in his life. It does not get any lower than that. There was no one else around him to let down. And that's when he made that shift forever. He said, I've lost a decade of my life fearing what everyone around me thought of me, when it turns out the only person that mattered was what God thinks of me. And maybe, just maybe, maybe the reason why all of us struggle with letting people down all the time is because we're too focused on being the parent, the spouse, the boss, the friend, the coworker that the people around us want us to be, instead of just being who God called us to be. And here's what I found. If we'll let go of those fears, if we can just trust God with those fears, he'll transform our lives and our relationship in ways that we can't possibly imagine. That moment of meeting Jesus for Michael finally put an end to the cycle of addiction in his life, both to the drugs, but also to his need for approval. Michael found an audience of one that he was now performing for. And seeing his life so radically transformed, he knew he was being called into ministry so he could help the people around him be set free as well. And that's how I ended up with a 28-year-old intern. Fast forward to today, and his life, Michael's life, looks incredibly different than it did all those years ago. While he was interning with us, don't worry, we didn't just make him wear costumes. He got to love and care for people walking into our church. We even let him baptize a few of them. It turns out he fell hard for one of those people that he led to Jesus, and eventually married his wife, Haley, right there. And both of them knew when they got married that there would be a strong possibility that they would never have children because of the years of drug abuse that Michael's body had endured. And yet God had other plans. And this February, Michael and Haley welcomed their baby girl, Mackenzie, into the world. I mean, she's no Olympic snowboarder, but she's pretty cute, isn't she? And if you're wondering what Michael's doing with his life these days, he became a pastor at a church called Recovery Church, a church whose mission is to specifically serve those who are coming out of alcohol and drug addiction. Yeah, that's how good our God is. He took the very thing that Michael used to let every person in his life down, and he's using that to lift the people around him up. That's the goodness of our God. So can we take a commitment together to shake off the dust in our lives? We're going to shake off the fear of letting people down and the weight of always giving the people what they want. And instead, we're going to grab God's freedom and just be who he's called us to be. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much that even in our letdown, you don't just leave us alone, that you understand it. You've been there. Lord, when we let other people down, we pray that that wouldn't define who we are, but that you would instead. We speak to those fears inside of us, those fears that are keeping us from being who you called us to be, those fears of what other people might think about what we say and what we do. And we say that those things have no place in our life. And instead, Lord, we're going to grab hold of the freedom that you offer. We are going to allow you to be our goal because you have been there. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.